4DJC.
Are you going to holler for you? And you and Tara's going to holler for Shane. Let me walk over and grab a bottle of water, which is about 15 feet, and I'll be right back. Send your OTR.
N4ZLK, and hello, Tom, as well.
How you doing?
Responded, I guess, the same time Tom did. He must have walked all over me. You know these old guys.
You boomers are like that.
Old guys? Who are you calling old, Shane?
You know, if it doesn't refer to you, then it doesn't reply to you, so... Yeah, I heard Jerry. I said, oh, I'll say hello. I was just about to throw my call out there anyway. And I unkeyed the mic, and Tom, you were talking away.
Tell me. So Bernice tells me. Well, I've been talking to Jerry via text. And us old-timers aren't that great, but, you know, when you got it, well, first of all, I hollered for... Jerry, and I said, if you're not there, I'll holler for Shane, and because we've been texting, and I'm glad to get you both, but, well, Shane, you can tell who's got the money. Jerry's got him a new Helicraft, a QRP rig, and getting back into CW, thankfully, and he just told me he was going to buy a new Stepper IR $3,000 antenna. Is that correct, Jerry?
Right, Tom. yeah. Shane, Tom suggested, I'd always looked at him. Tom suggested one to me about it. I looked at my next door neighbor was a ham, or his a ham, but he moved a few months ago, and he had a couple. He had some type of vertical out there that was, it must have had a tuner in the bottom, I think, and, I think it had some type of electrical tuner, like a coil or something in the bottom. And he also had a hex beam up, but he was working FTE, and I don't, you know, I'm just not much on the digital mess. I've always been a CW guy, and I just got back into it again. I'm up to about 16, 18 words per minute now. And trying to get, I was originally, when I stopped almost 40 years ago, I was running around 25 or 30, but a lot of people can't copy 25 or 30. I think 18 to 22 is about as fast as most people use, but you know, when you're working, when you got propagation working against you, you gotta get that call out and in a hurry sometimes.
Hey, I didn't realize you did CW, and you should have talked your neighbors into just leaving. If he moved, I think you said he moved, you should have said, just leave the antennas there and I'll just run coax over to it and tell the people that buy the house that it just comes with the antennas.
Yes, you know, I'd heard this Stepper IR was a real good antenna machine, and so I texted Jerry then. I said, I heard Stepper IR's got a good one. He says, yeah, for $3,000. Oh, my God.
Maybe we could take up a collection for him.
He's only got a 45-inch one right now. I believe that's what you said, wasn't it, Jerry?
One Letcraft's only got a 45-inch whip. It's got a PNC connected for wire antenna, too, but it's got a 13-foot catapult. I don't have any trouble too much with it because I'm mostly doing photo now just to get everything back up to snuff again, get my copy by ear. I kind of breeze through 13, about 20 or 25 pretty easy, but you know, this radio change is actually like a handheld. It is a handheld, basically. It's got 12, 15, 17, and 40 meters on it, but most of the time I'm working, 20 meters and 42, but it's, most of the time I work 20 on it. I've been working guys into this Dakotas pretty easy, but the photo guys are, you know, they want to get on and get off in a hurry. It's just a fairly rapid exchange, almost like a contest type mode. And they generally spot themselves, so you know which part they're at. And I think don't think I told you. I think I've got up to about 40 parks now or something like that. I go out and sit on front porch, Shane, and work a station two in the afternoon maybe or in the morning, and I go back inside and just take a break. I'm not that with much of a contest guy or anything like that, but I haven't worked any DX yet, but I don't get on 15 is... Yes, get on pretty early in the mornings, I think, to get on 15 with a minimal antenna like that. But I hear guys. There are guys in Colorado and Utah and places like that. I haven't heard anybody from California yet, but because the radio doesn't have 10 on it. If it had 10 meters on it, it'd be a lot better for stuff like that with low power. But regardless, it's been a lot of fun anyway. I can just pack it up, take the antenna off it, collapse it, pack it up, put it in a little case. It's only about... Like I said, it's about the size of a regular 2-meter, a decent size 2-meter handheld.
Sounds like a lot of fun, too, and I guess it's got its own battery. But, yeah, I found on CW, Moto guys don't even give their park number. I think you said that, which the computer comes in handy for that. And I don't know, I guess the computer, or they, when you log it, they keep track of it. But I like to know what park they're in anyway, so... But it's a lot of fun. I do that. I use that for practice, too, just for quick contacts, practice for, contesting, I guess. But I'm trying to get into conversational. I can do a little bit of it, and I've had some good conversations. Go ahead, Tom.
This is Gerald T.R. Well, kudos to both of you. I'm proud of you. And it's just a wonderful mode, and... It, like I've always told Shane, it's elbow grease. And Shane's done a great job. He worked one way out in the Pacific, Chatham Island the other day. I spotted on here, and I heard him, and he's doing just great, Jerry. And you are, too, if you're running that fast. That's a comfortable speed. When I'm DXing, I run 30, and... For conversation, I never get over 28, but that's just contacts. But if I was going to do conversational, I'd want to drop down to 24, 26 words a minute, or I wouldn't get it all because I just don't practice that hard. I'd come down here of an evening, and Bernice and I watch TV and usually have a snack, and I'll cherry pick. There's a POTUS station on there now, but as I dig through it, he's on 7196, but that would be sideband, and I'm sure your rig does not do sideband, but there's a guy on 17, he's a PJ2, November Delta, at 18073, and I recognize him. He's in Jericho. You might be able to work the Caribbean pretty easily, Jerry, with that. Those aircrafts are top-tier rigs. They're really good. That new K3 and K4, the K4 particularly. But I just don't want to change. I like my Kenwood stuff, and I don't want to have to learn new menus and all, or I'd get me a 890, and it's very similar to this GS590SG I got. But, there's just a lot of stuff on there. If you're into audio and tailoring all that, it's just not my cup of tea. And I'm getting older and losing my schmarts on that stuff too, Jerry. And go ahead.
Some guys from our Caribbean, I don't either. I'm listening for... You know, when you're working on something like this, you got to listen for, not necessarily a loud station, but sometimes you got a lot of fading and that sort of thing. And I can hear them, even down to SD pretty easily, because this is just a super head. It doesn't have, it's not an SDR. It's a fairly simple menu system. It's got, it's got memories and stuff, and it does. It's got a code reader, and I don't use a code reader because I don't want to depend on that anyway. But it's got a code reader, a decoder, and it's got stuff where you store log messages, logging systems and stuff like that. But I'm not that serious. I'm just trying to have fun and get back in the enjoyment of what I had and what I did years ago. And, like I said, 15 hours ago, I had a lot of luck on 15 meters, and did I had to get up that early. I stayed up to about 3 this morning, you know, for the election stuff. But I don't usually get up early in the morning. I need to be knocking up around 8 o'clock in the morning, start working 15. And again, I go outside. Yeah, I don't do anything inside usually. I go outside and do it. So, but it's been a lot of fun though. It's like a simple rig. It's got pretty nice filters on the filtering system. It's got you can vary the transmit frequency or the receive frequency, either one. And I just get on the, you know, I spot mine on the POTA app, and I get about where they are, then I'll just put it in the where I can be the transmit and get maybe about 15 or 20 kcs off of them, so I won't be right dead on the frequency. They usually answer me, you know, unless there's a big pile up or something. They can hear me. I mean, I've done the reverse beacon stuff, and I'm getting up into Canada pretty well. But the location where I sit out, me and my front yard, more directed toward the northeast than the south. So there's that to get them with. See, and I got power lines in the backyard, so I just don't hear quite as well in the back as I do in the front.
I'm going to jump out real quick and get fuel. I pulled under the on the fuel island, and you guys disappeared, so I backed up to let you know. I'll be back in a minute. N4, is that okay?
Here's that guy in the chair. Me and Jerry. Think on 17 that you'd be able to get that, Jerry, but I know you're not going to go outside and get it now, though.
It sounds like you're about 25 or so. That's a little fast for me right now. And like I said, since the cure is actually on the radio itself, you can get an external cure for it, too. Just plug it into jack. But with an external cure, I could probably do better. But just the cure's on the radio. You got to do three things at one time, which, you know, it's a little easier for me to do it. Cause like I said, I don't have to copy it in my head. I don't write it. I generally just write the call down and in the signal report and that sort of thing. But I can spot them on Potter and get to park. Keep me up pretty easy on my phone. That's not an issue. But, you know, I do want to be able to hear, copy them, you know, by ear. But like I said, they had a North Dakota, South Dakota contest, I think, here. But I think it must be a QSO party. It seemed like a weekend ago, maybe two weekends ago. And I worked a couple of guys in both Dakotas without any trouble. And I woke up into Canada, and the Northeast is pretty easy. And Texas, you know, Kansas and Texas and Missouri. And, that sort of thing. We're down in Florida, but of course the short skip is kind of hard. And if I got something for 40, I could probably short skip pretty good. So, Georgia, South Carolina, no, I think it's a couple of stations in North Carolina, I think. Though.
Well, so to get North and South Dakota, I'm trying to enter a PJ2 November Delta. I was going to spot him here for everybody else. But I just wanted to see. I just turned it on, and I'm like you, Jerry. I do it for the fun of it. I don't care about the numbers anymore. I do like to work the rare stations out in the Pacific and out in the Indian Ocean. There's been one on lately from Burkina Faso. I think you pronounce it down in Africa. Sometimes Africa comes in pretty good, but you're doing the right thing. You used to have fun with it. If you're going to buy something like that that does all the work for you, and decodes and encodes and all that, you're not much of a CW operator is all I can say. And I know you're not that way.
For that, the 13, or if it was requirement for a general. And I'll be honest with you, I had to have a couple of things. I had to have a novice. And I think it just gave me a whole lot. Once I learned it, it was just a matter of learning letters, then words, and then after you know the, it's a general gist of the conversation, you can kind of get along pretty easy with it. I had a friend of mine in Australia. He and I used to work each other several times a month, I guess. We never set up a schedule, and he was in. I was using four BTVs, I think, back in those days. Only used on 15 meters, and it wasn't a problem at all to get Australia and South Africa, Japan, that sort of thing. Where I had most of my trouble, and I've worked a lot of the Northeast already. Where I had most of my trouble, though, after I got Hawaii on QRP, originally was places like Delaware, New Hampshire, some of the ones that don't have a lot of hams in them. But I've worked that whole Northeast quadrant now. I may be missing Vermont, but I'm not sure if I've worked that. I had those guys on a couple of days ago. I think I got him. I don't know for sure. Once they get you, then they upload those photo logs, and that they got you in the book then. But actually, it's not just it's more just for the fun of it, making sure, just having a good time more than anything else. And as I said, my case speed improves, and QR copy my hair is not that great, which is one problem, but I don't have any trouble with occasion. Since I don't talk so well anymore, I just prefer a code anyway.
Too, Jerry, but I've had some very nice sideband conversations with guys over the years, but it's hard to do code, and it takes a lot of time and effort to do it. Once I got the 20 words a minute, I said, I'd never use that stuff again. I hated it. And then I got to thinking, you dummy, spent all that time in about a year learning it up to that speed. Why in the world would you give it up now? And after I got started doing it, I made some really unique contacts over the years. This guy's got a cartoon on his website on QRZ. It says, be very, very quiet. I'm hunting POTUS, and it's Elmer Fudd. Boy, he has got a website to set up. It's Kilowatt Mike 5, Romeo Fox. And it shows a picture of a B-2 bomber over there on his QSL card. By the looks of his station, I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the guys that flies it.
Yeah, there are a couple of calls that keep popping up. I think there's a guy, and Illinois works a lot of parts. AB9CA, I've worked him several times in various parks. And actually, they usually dance. I don't ever see anybody any lower than the around 14041 somewhere in that area. Most of them are up in the 060 somewhere. That 060 is about, I think that's where the QRP frequency is. A lot of guys run QRP, and all the soda guys, I guess, run QRP. It makes it a little harder for me to hear, but I don't really have that much trouble as long as the propagation is pretty decent. But I always listen out for them because they're generally real weak. But I think I worked a guy. Seemed like I worked a guy in Maine too. Maybe he was QRP to QRP, which was always always fun for me.
Hey, Booger, I'd like to say it's a real bitch, but you shouldn't say that on here. But it is a booger, Jerry. Pardon my language. Well, this guy is, I think, POTA. And he's at 14336. But my God, you ought to see that website he's got. It's just unbelievable on QRZ. I just got a picture on there. I don't know how they put all that other stuff on there of their stations. He shows a picture of his tower as it was being erected. And he's laying down in there on his back with his arms, well, like he's in a coffin. And it looks like a thing 6 foot deep. It must be 8 foot square. That's a lot of concrete.
Concrete. I always like to go on QRZ. Like some of the web pages on QRZ are just hysterical. That you guys get these tremendous stations, and I said, man, no wonder they can work all that stuff. They got monitors, towers, and huge stations, and some of them got 40-meter beams, and just crazy.
That picture of him laying in the pit like he's dead, it says, where the wife said, I'm going to end up if I spend much more money on this project. shoot, I just seen that. And then it looks like, I don't know, he's got a solar cell, and it looks like a, oh, I know what that is. That's a hidey hole for tornadoes. He's got one of those out there, too. But I hooked on phonics, but it looks like Waxahachie, Texas. It seemed like I've heard that name before.
I may have been through it at some point in time when I used to travel in Texas, but I don't know what part of Texas that is. So.
Well, you know what? I just dropped it out, but it's KM5RF is his call. If you go over to detail and then hit show map, let's see where you're located out there, Jerry. Around what big town? It's way south of Dallas. Well, not way south, but a ways south of Dallas. And I'm trying to zoom in on it, what highway that is. Oh, it looks like highway 35 east. And but I'll bet it's out in the boondocks. When I went out there, worked on those dam gates setting them in San Angelo, I was about afraid to get out of the car. They had a rattlesnake laying over the top of the handle on one of those old big Ford quad cab trucks, you know. And his tail almost touched the ground, and his head almost touched the ground, and it was locked over the door handle on that truck. Heck, a rattlesnake that big might eat you.
No thanks, I don't like snakes. I don't like poisonous ones anyway. I spent so much time in the woods, I always really watched out where I put my foot, but, I don't hear that well anymore, and I couldn't hear a rattler. If he was rattling, I don't guess. I was just looking at my photo. I think I've got 45 parks. A lot of you got to do the tapers, and where you get two parks, one activation, that sort of thing. It's an interesting little deal, though. And I've got that soda watch, too. I'll keep an eye on somebody's fairly close by that if I can hear them. But like I've said, all those guys are all, for the most part, they're in a QRP, 105 watts or less. And some of that pretty decent antenna. Like I said, I stay out of pileups and get off frequency just a little bit so they can hear me. But I think just about everybody that had maybe an ST or something like that, about everybody I've been able to call has heard me. So I think that's the way to get it. Of course, these loud signals are, I hear guys on, they got to be running, some of them run a kilowatt, I know, and as the hunters are. And on beams, and they just, they'll cover me up sometimes. But it's still a lot of fun. I was kind of pick and choose what I do, but I enjoy it. And I always like, I had an Argonaut 70s, a 5-watt 10-tech Argonaut, and I love that little radio. It wasn't anywhere near like this one is as far as the bells and whistles on it and digital readout. Didn't have, just had dial readout, and you had to be sure your own frequency. But I kind of got settled on that solid state finals with a 10-tech, and I want to say it was either a Kenwood It might have been an FT-101 ZD. I had one of those, but after tuning up and all that stuff, and I went back to Kenwood. I think mine was a 120. I think you got a 140 or a 120 all mode. I think it might have been 10 through 80 or something like that, mobile HF rig.
A lot of guys on those Argonauts and the 10-techs, I don't know if they're still in business or not. They was a famous radio for many, many years. And yeah, I love my TS-140. I sold it to an engineer here after I got down here when I bought the 590. And he worked for the Catholic radio station locally, and he wanted it to run in his mobile, Jerry.
They were really small for the day. My 120, that's the first version, I guess. And we had a little group on 20 meters. And of course, they'd have to wait till kind of late in the evening to start talking. We had a little group on 20 meter on 20 meter AM. We had to wait late at night until the band got kind of quiet. And there was some of it was, you know, short hop and that sort of thing. We had a nice group in it. I said, that AM, nothing. I mean, that stuff sounds good. I see why people loved AM all those years ago, because it's such a great sound.
They were like, Sidemaster 2300. I think they were 6K wide on that AM, if I remember rightly. I've only used that mode about twice in my life.
It's a local area group there. When I lived in Rock Hill, in that area, in the Charlotte area, and we'd do, you know, short hop, and it was just a lot of fun. But I was working at night then, and I'd come home and work like 1 to 2 in the morning, and something like that. And it was a lot of fun. But you know, it is, you know, it's got a lot of spectrum that you didn't dare do it during the daytime. But it was a lot of fun, Dave. And I worked a fair amount of sideband, but I just personally, you know, since I had to learn CW to get my novice and to get my general, I just stuck with me, because like you said, I had to work. It came pretty easy for me, but I think I got my novice in, seemed like April, maybe March, April of 79, and got my written tech test and passed it in Atlanta. And then I was actually in Rock Hill, went over here to Greenville Tech to get my 13 word per minute code. And that was in June of 79. After that, I didn't have any trouble copying. I enjoyed it. And the guy that got me started on radio, you know, he'd had his novice. He had a tech for years. Let me let this thing drop. Here's time he just couldn't break that 13 word per minute code barrier to get his general. So he was on 6 meters, and we were both going back and forth on code. You know, he was local, and he got me interested in it and said that's one of the reasons, because, you know, we had a pretty decent, you know, you could work most, you know, a lot of bands in code then, but you couldn't do anything on sideband. So I developed my interest through him. And the guy that got him starting radio was a big code guy too, so they were guys, one of the guys was, I guess he was licensed back in the 40s maybe. Yeah, he's like, you know, he could fly, but he used a bug, and when Pat got on that bug, it took me forever to figure out, and when he started getting up around 18 words per minute, it took me forever to figure out what he was sending. Those things just drive me nuts sometimes.
Sir, yeah, this is India. Imagine I could copy that with a headset on. He's on there a lot. He's in Bangalore, India. Conti. He's been there many years. Jerry, don't feel like the Long Ranger. I still can't copy them cockeyed things. Once in a while, if you get a really good guy on a bug, you can copy it. But I couldn't run one, and I can't copy them. They're a bugger. And my buddy up in Kansas, WA0RL, he he ran a bug, and you could not tell that he was on a bug. He was on the Vibroplex, and a real pretty Vibroplex key, you know.
I actually tried one of those one time, and I just, you know, the Bethlehem ham radio store here in Rock Hill at the time, Gizmo, and they let me borrow a Vibroplex one time, and I tried it for about 15 minutes. I said, nope. I just never could get the hang of it. I had I bought a Bencher, and I never looked back after I bought that Bencher. And, of course, this one, the one that's on this electrograph, is an iambic keyer. It's just a tiny little thing, though. But after I got started on iambic keyers, that was just that was the end of it. Then I tried one of those single paddles. I think Tentec made one. And the guy at the store I bought my Tentec Argonaut from gave me just threw in one of those Tentec single paddles. And I just never could. I used it for a while, but after I got used to an iambic, you know, just made a whole lot of these called CQ, and it just takes a. And I'm left-handed too, Tom, so I can send with either hand, but I do better left-handed. And after I learned how to use iambic, you know, it just became a. You know, it was just a pleasure to send code with one of those.
I would concur with that. Listen to this guy. This guy looks like a little bitty guy. He's out in the Pacific by New Caledonia. And he's three Delta, two Alpha Golf Stroke portable. And he's on 12 meters. I have been hearing some pretty good propagation with the sunspots being up lately, Jerry. And that one is 7,312.4 miles. So they got a picture of him on there. If that's him, he looks like a little kid. But wow. I would say he's running 32 or so, wouldn't you?
That's over 30. I mean, I can pick out a letter or two, or a couple letters, but I can't get that fast by a long shot. And as you said, I could go along pretty well, route 20 or 22 or something like that. If it got much faster than that, I'd miss one every once in a while. But and of course, a lot of the proto guys, they go a little bit slower. Some guys go real slow. I can't send code. After you get where you're comfortable, you know, say 15 or 16 words per minute, it's hard to send it on a key, or at least it is for me. I just don't. Once I get to that speed, I try to not go too fast for guys and repeat and that sort of thing. But, somebody calls it like 8 or 10 words per minute, or it just, my mind, I can't slow it down. I can't slow my mind down enough to copy the actual letters. Does that mean the letters number? Does that sound, is that odd to you, or is that just, is it the same way with you?
It's exactly the same way with me. That Burnett 9 disappeared. I just looked at my log over here, and it seemed like I worked him just a short time ago, and I did. He was on October 30th at 0007, so not far from this time. But I think he skipped another band. If he comes back here, I'll work him right quick. But I just never thought to look it up on my log there. And that's a pretty good one. Rotuma, they call it. And I don't know if I got him on 12 or not, Jerry. But it sounds like you're having a good time with that QRP rig. I think you made a good investment there. We don't travel that much anymore, but it'd be fun to have something like that, you know, like if I went back to Kansas or something and stopped at parks on the way or something, you know, deal like that. and then worked it. Always thought about doing that when I used to go back there some. But the family mostly passed away. My nephew owns a farm there now, and he goes out there sometimes, but it's 935 miles, and, you know, that's a long ways in a car.
Kid, M4DJC Friday. That was a long way. That was a long drive out there. I hadn't been through that part of the northern Midwest, but I know Lynn's mother did it when they said it was just a long, long drive. And, but I just throw mine in the car when we go visit the kids or grandkids, or we go here and there and yonder. And I think when I do, when, you know, I won't do it just kind of late in the year today, but when the spring pops up again, you know, we may make a couple of trips. When I do, I'll put it back. I actually worked a guy at Cracker Barrel the other day. I went out there and I said, let me flip this thing out there. And I flipped my little counterpoise out there. And like I said, it only takes about 30 seconds to get the whole thing deployed and on frequency. And worked a guy at Cracker Barrel. I said, well, is that, you count that as a Cracker Barrel on there or what?
CB on the air. I don't think I'd claim that. Shoot. Yeah, that ticks me off. I missed that one. But he wasn't getting any contact, so he just shut her down and moved someplace else, I guess. I had the amplifier on up there a while ago, but I don't like to let it sit there and run. There's no reason to run the fans and that and the noise. It's not real noisy, it's quiet. But I just hate to put the hours on it if I don't need to. And I definitely didn't need to down there to cure a cold, but I thought, well, I'll turn it on for a while and see what I can hear. But it ought to be fascinating to the grandkids, but I sure can't get mine interested in it, Jerry. Not even trying to bribe them with money.
So my granddaughter, of course, isn't interested in it, but they know what I'm doing, and, you know, they like to listen to me. We will have to keep them, you know, sometimes we have to go in and stay, like, you know, last night for election, you know, for election night, we had to stay over to about 8:30, so I'll take it over with me and get out in the backyard or something with it, give me something to do, and, you know, it's got shortcomings, but also it's a lot of fun, though. You can get out there and listen. If it's fairly quiet in the neighborhood, I can usually get back in and work a station or two, just listen. And I use things. It works out for me. It's not a, you know, I'm not climbing any mountains or anything like that, but since it's portable, I can, you know, like I said, it's got a little case and antenna detached one. It's got a little pouch that stores, and it's got everything with it. I mean, internal battery, you charge the battery internally. It's got an automatic tuner. Just got a small LCD display, and it'll last. I mean, I can run the batteries, mostly battery. I can run the battery probably several days of contact before it needs to be recharged, because it's designed to be a soda rig, a pedestrian type rig. And the other thing about it is made in the United States, which makes it rent. The only thing about electric stuff is it's expensive, but it has been used, and I think it's worth it, and I'd rather, and nobody else has got anything like it. And they really, you know, this guy's been working on this thing for years. And it's just a handy little rig. But I started looking at that KXT, which is, by the time you rig that thing out, it's about $1,600-$1,700. But it's not really a portable rig, and it doesn't have, it's got the tuner and all that stuff with it, but it doesn't have the antenna. So you can just, this one, you just pull out your pocket, you know, put the antenna on, throw out the counterport, turn it on, hit the tuner, and be going. So that was kind of a draw for me, because I just didn't want a complex situation. I don't have any intention of putting an antenna up here. Of course, after my neighbor moved out, he was running an amplifier next door, after my neighbor moved out. You know, I thought about getting on before he moved in. But then he moved in, got two antennas. I said, run an amplifier, run an FT8. And I said, this is probably not a good situation to have two hams 50 feet apart. Transmitting, he was on all the time. And, you know, FT8, just, I know a lot of people love it, but it's just, it ain't my cup of tea.
The computer does all the work. It's not like you're doing it. You do a little bit, you know, find the station or something, but those computers are so sensitive. Dave Watson was telling me he ran something called Whisper, and he made contact with Australia on 1 or 2/10 of a watt, Jerry. Just unbelievable. And lots of them. I mean, thousands of contacts, I think. But Dave's exceptional, too. But Ariel, NY4G, he designed stuff for Parks on the Air and Summits on the Air and that. And I know a lot of that stuff. You know, he makes his own woodworking, his boxes and that. And they're beautiful. But he's got antennas and that, and there's YouTubes of them. So you might look on YouTube for NY4G, Ariel. And he's a fantastic guy and just brilliant. He weighs that stuff in grams, if you can imagine that he's going to carry up those summits.
Some of the things those guys build, I mentioned that it's like a outdoors tent type stuff. Of course, if you're up high enough and got a decent antenna, it doesn't take a lot of power. Height and antenna's got a lot to do with it. I was talking with one guy not long ago on one of the forums, you know, Soda Forum. He said, well, he was talking about getting one of those kites. You know, they make these kites that, you know, where people can haul a wire up with. I said, I don't think I could fly a kite, work CW, and copy everything down all at the same time. That sounded like a two-person operation. You know, this guy seemed to be fascinated with it. But, yeah, I've seen some of those things. They're just tiny. And you know, there's a lot of QRP rigs out there, of course, you know, my age, I'm 73, of course, you know, my age, if I get a, hopefully I'll be able to work it, you know, another 3 or 4 years, and then the band will be, you know, almost dead again, but I'd like to get 3 or 4 years at least out of the rig, maybe even 5, and just watch the propagation, you know.
The band will be dead in 3 years, Jerry. It's 11-year cycle, and, it seemed like I've worked a lot of stuff when the solar cycle was at the bottom, but naturally, it's definitely not as good. But they've been running anywhere from 100 to 300 sunspots lately, so quite a few. Well, Jerry, I better let you go. I really enjoyed it, and thanks for hollering back at me. And I hope you have a lot of fun with that rig. If you ever get up this way, well, be sure you and the missus stop by. And, oh, Jiminy, I was trying to think of something here, Jerry. N4DJC, N0TR. I'm losing it, Jerry. I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, Bernice, then okay. Like I said, we've got to kind of stick kind of close to home with the situation going on with Lynn's brother right now. And it's really sad. The guy was a CPA, brilliant guy. He's getting pretty close to the end now. So we've been to Athens a few times, and it's to the point that we didn't recognize anybody anymore. So it's real sad. And her dad had a Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. Of course, she's fine. And he's about 2 or 3 years younger than she is. He got it pretty early, though, so I'm not sure. We don't know. You don't ever know what causes that stuff. Sometimes I think it's some of it's environmental. Who knows? But anyway, good talking to you, Tom. Appreciate you giving me a shout. Been wanting to give you a holler, but I just hadn't been up here that often. We've been paying attention to other stuff, I guess. But anything, good talking to you, man. Give me a shout, and I'll keep your ear out for you. Is there a TRM4DJC clear?
Oh, Jerry, I wanted to tell you I had a card over here, and I was watching Jar's Inn one night, and I seen a Parks on the Air, Crawford County State Fishing Light Park, and it was in October of, October 2nd of, or 1st of 2023, and it was on 7.035 on CW, and him and I used to go back and forth, kind of like dueling banjos, and we slowly increase our speed because he used to do Russian intercepts when he was in the Air Force. And God, that guy could get up to around 40 watts a minute. He'd run me in the ground. But his call was into UHC, Uniform Hotel Charlie. And I had not heard him in 14 years, Jerry. So he wrote me a nice letter and sent me a card. So there's a lot of fun in CW and a lot of fun in that QRP, too. I say life's too short for QRP, but a lot of guys still enjoy it. Take care, Jerry. N4DJC and 0GR clear.
See you, Tom. N4DJC clear.
4WJT and 4ZLK.
Okay, and 0GR.
I was listening to you guys, and I was kind of sleepy, but I enjoyed the conversation. Didn't have a lot to add, but I was enjoying listening to you. I'm about 3 minutes from the house.
I hope your son hears us. He'll jump in there. That's who he's trying to call on, your son-in-law.
I actually talked to him earlier, and my granddaughter popped in there, too, and said hello on the radio. So trying to get her, she's three. Maybe we'll get her a ham radio license here soon.
I wish you could talk to my grandson. There was a young man, on here that was 12, and then I remember years ago a boy, passed. He was 8 years old. He passed the technician test up there in Kansas. It was amazing. But it can be done, so you never know how young she might do it, Shane. Well, I'm glad you're about home. I'll disturb you. You should jump back in there. I don't know too much about QRP. I'm under the creed of life's too short for QRP, but it's still fun, and I always try to work them if I hear them.
What's the power limit on that? Is it 5 watts or less, or do they go up to 10? Do you know?
I think it used to be 5 watts. You might look it up, but I'm pretty sure it's 5.
I think it's 5. I just wasn't sure. But I've made a couple contacts on my rate. You know, my one I use for CW is a little 857. The lowest it'll go is 5 watts. And I tell you what, some of those signals come in so strong, and I'll answer them just on 5 watts, and they'll hear me. I know not everybody gives an exact RST, but, you know, they'll send me back a 5.9 or a 5.8 or something like that.
Father, that kind of throws you off. And usually it's 5.99. I missed one in Rotuma a while ago, and I should have worked it, but I was talking to Jerry. And I knew I'd worked him October 31st, actually, when I went and looked. But about the time I decided to jump over there and work him right quick on 12 meters, because, I don't have that many on 12. I got, probably 150. I don't know. But I always try to work them if they're on 12. But yeah, I've turned mine down to 5 watts before and made contacts.
You mentioned the one guy he's worked several times. I recognize the call. I've seen it. I've worked him a few. There's one guy. It's kind of cool when you work them enough, even on the POTA contacts, that they start recognizing your name. You know, I know who they are because I look them up. But when they start responding with your name, that's kind of cool.
And I've had that happen quite a bit. And I was talking to a guy in Europe the other night on Sideban, and it was just a short QSO. But, hey, Tom, I haven't worked you since yada, 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 you know, and I've even had guys from Kuwait and different places like that. know your name, and the way they answer so quickly, I don't think they could have looked it up on QRZ by then, but it's nice.
Okay, well, I do know these logging programs, too. If you just type in the call and you've worked them before, it pops up. But, yeah, it is nice. I try to call people by their name if I know it by the time I, you know, talk to them, because it just feels like it feels more personal when you hear your name, you know. Anyway, I'm in the driveway. Hope you and Bernice have a good evening, and I don't want to know what you had for a snack tonight at 0TR and 4ZLK.
We're still thinking on that. Might have a root beer float. If there's enough homemade ice cream left. Anyways, take care, Shane. Find your home safe. In 4ZLK and 0TR clear.